We've been discovering that our Lord has identified who His family is, that is the family of God. We begin this series of messages in Matthew chapter number 12, where our Lord was teaching and leading the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders, and teaching them about the need to repent of the judgment of God that was upon them, when He was interrupted by a messenger who said that His family, that is His mother and His brothers, were there to speak with Him. And our Lord turned and looked around at the people around Him, and the Bible says that He asked the question, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And He said about His disciples, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." And then He said, whoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. And we discovered in that passage of Scripture, the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, are those who have submitted to, who have surrendered to the Father's will. That is, in one of the characteristics of the family of God, or those who are in the family of God, is that they have done the will of the Father. And we discovered in that message that the will of the Father, that is what the Father has been revealing through the Son, is the need to repent. That is, the message has been, repent, the kingdom of heaven is in hand. The context is all about the need to repent so that you don't come into the judgment of God. That is the Father's will, and those who are part of the family of God are those who've been brought to that point of real repentance, that is, brokenness over their sin and lostness, and a turning to Christ and receiving Him for who He is, Lord and Savior of our lives. And so we know that one of the things that characterizes those who are part of the family of God is the Father's will. We also discovered most recently that also characteristic of those who are the family of God is the new birth. And that is, we discovered that everybody in the family of God has a birthday, just like everybody in the human family has a birthday, but it's not a physical birthday, it is a spiritual birthday. And that is a time and experience where they were brought to the point of brokenness over their lostness and turning to Christ. And in that experience, they receive brand new life, the life of God living on the inside of them, and pass from death unto life, being born again. Now listen to me now, if you've never been born again, then you're not part of the family of God. All of those who are part of the family of God are those who have been born again, as our Lord explained to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. You cannot be a part of the kingdom of God, the family of God, unless you have been born again. You must be born again. And so characteristic of the family of God is the Father's will, obedience to the Father's will, repentance. Characteristic, ladies and gentlemen, of the family of God is the new birth. Everybody in the family has been born again. But I want you to think with me for a little while, based on 1 Peter 2 and many other verses, about the favorite food. One of the things that characterizes, ladies and gentlemen, the family of God is our favorite food. Now listen, in most families, in our family, everyone has their favorite food. That is, whatever it is that they might like, and whenever we get together as a family, and we make sure that everyone's favorite food is there. I remember my mother doing that, and that is, whenever we would get together as a family years ago, and my mother was fixing and having us at her house, I can remember her having this big spread of food, and if you ever ask her, why do you have so much food, she would go through it and say, well, this is so-and-so's favorite food, and this is somebody else's favorite food, and somebody else likes this. And she just fixed everything that she thought everybody liked. My wife tends to follow in that same kind of tradition. I would guess that many of you do as well. And as we all have our favorite foods and that we enjoy eating when we get together as a family. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that in the family of God, we also have our favorite food. And in the family of God, everybody's got the same favorite. It's not a different favorite food, but it's the same favorite food. We gather together in the family of God. Whenever we gather together, we want to gather around the table and eat our favorite food. That is, listen, one of the things that characterizes those who've obeyed the Father's will, they've repented, and those who've been have experienced a new birth, is that, ladies and gentlemen, they like to get together and sit around the table and eat. And that's just what we do at the family of God. Now, the table I'm talking about is not a fold-up table in the other building with fried chicken laid out. And the table I'm talking about is the one that we're sitting at today. God's people getting together around the table and eating our favorite food. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. Well, Peter wrote about it in 1 Peter chapter number 2. You may already be turned there, but let me just read that to you. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, lay all of that aside as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've ever gotten a taste of the grace of God, and listen, if you're a part of the family of God, you have. And since you've had a taste of the grace of God, then ladies and gentlemen, it'll whet your appetite. You keep wanting to come back and get some more to eat. Amen. And what we like is the milk. The Bible says here, the milk, the sincere milk of the Word. That's our favorite food. That is, those who are in the family of God, our favorite food is the Word of God. We like to sing the Word of God. We like to read the Word of God. We like to be able to quote the Word of God. We like to be able to hear the teaching of God's Word. That is, the Word of God is our favorite food. We have an appetite that is on the inside of us for the Word of God. That is, one of the things that characterizes those who are in the family of God is desiring the Word like we desire our favorite food. Desiring the Word like we desire our favorite food. You remember, don't you? Hadn't been that long ago, you got together with your family and your favorite thing was there, and you looked at it, and when you saw it, your mouth started watering and your tongue started rejoicing and your stomach started on the inside of you saying, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. You were looking forward with eager anticipation to eating your favorite food. One of the things that characterizes, ladies and gentlemen, the people of God and the family of God is that we have that kind of a desire for the Word of God. And that is that we want to hear the Word. Listen, you don't have to trick us into hearing the Word. You don't have to manipulate us into hearing the Word of God. You don't try to have to force us to hear the Word of God. And the reason why is because we are hungry for the Word of God. We want to hear the Word. We want to read the Word. We love God's Word. Now listen, this idea of the Word of God being like food is rooted all the way back in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, we find that whenever Moses was speaking to the Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 8, you might remember, and this may sound familiar to you, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, we find that Moses was reminding the second generation of Israelites before they went into the land of Canaan. He was reminding them, ladies and gentlemen, of the importance of following God's Word. That is, when you get into the land, you better obey the Word of God. You better do what God has said to do. And as he is discussing that with them in Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, he said this, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, and that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. That is, for the past 40 years they've been growing up in the wilderness and God's been testing them to see if they will obey the Word of God. In verse number 3 it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might know that he might make thee know that, listen to this, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Did you hear that? Here's what God is saying to them. I know when you were going through the wilderness, there were times when you got hungry. And throughout the wilderness, all you had was that manna. That is, you didn't know where it came from. And your fathers, that is the generation before you, they didn't understand it either. But God allowed that to happen so that he might make you know this truth. And that is, there's more to life than food. That is, we don't live by bread alone. Listen to me now. There's more to your life than just eating. It's not just stuffing your face and fattening your belly. It's not, listen, life is not just about delighting your taste buds. Say that again. Life is not just about delighting your taste buds. You see, what is it? Well, the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, the man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, something more important than the food we stuff into our bodies is the Word of God. That is what God has said. I want you to see that it's more important than food. that is even your favorite food. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? And the reason why is because in the New Testament, our Lord quoted this verse. Some of you remember it in Matthew chapter number 4, and Luke records it for us as well. And it is there that we find Jesus being tempted by the devil. He's been in the wilderness for 40 days, and he's been fasting in the wilderness. The Bible says the Spirit led him there, and as he has fasted, that is, he was tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days, he was hungry, and the Bible says the tempter, the devil, came to him, and it says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." You remember that, don't you? And that is, isn't the most important thing? Isn't the most important thing in a man's life, especially after fasting for 40 days, isn't the most important thing to get something to eat? I mean, listen to me, guys. Isn't that something that is a priority for your life? As a matter of fact, there are many people, ladies and gentlemen, all they live for is one meal to another. It's about it. That's about all their life consists of. And listen to me now, after fasting 40 days, our Lord is indeed hungrier than anybody in this room's ever been. And the devil comes along and says, "Why don't you take that stone over there? I mean, you're the Son of God. Why don't you just make it into bread?" And the Lord quoted what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy. And he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Ladies and gentlemen, he's reemphasizing in the New Testament what was taught in the Old, and that is, there's something more important than food for our belly. And it is indeed the Word of God. Now, the reason why Moses said that in the Old, and the reason why the Lord reemphasized that in the New, is because that's one of the characteristics of the family of God. That is, whether it be the family of God, the Israelites called to the promised land in the Old, or whether, ladies and gentlemen, be the family of God, the followers of Christ in the New, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that characterizes them is that they realize how important the Word of God is in their life. That is, the Word of God is more important than our food. It wasn't just Moses in the law that understood that. Job did as well in the book of Job, in Job 23 and verse number 10. Here's what we read. And that is that Job said, "But he, the Lord, knows the way that I take. He knows what I'm going through." That is, he knows he's sitting on an ash heap scraping the sores. His children are dead. He knows what he's going through. He knows his finances are wiped out. He says, "He knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When I get through the other side, God's going to use this to purify my life. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. I've stayed right in the very way that God has for me. Neither have I gone back from commandments of his lips." And listen to this. Job said this, "I have esteemed the words of thy mouth," the words of God's mouth, "more than my necessary." Oh, Job gets it, doesn't he? Man, he acts like he's somebody in the family of God, doesn't he? And that is, he's saying that I esteem or value the Word of God more than my necessary food. Now, when he's talking about our necessary food, he's not just talking about dessert. He's talking about the main meal. He's talking about what it is we have to have, that is, to be able to survive. The Word of God is more important than my necessary food. Listen, he sounds like somebody that is in the family of God. In Psalm 19, in the Psalms, we just see the same thought. This is not a unique thought. We see it in the writings of Moses and in the book of Job, and now also in the Psalms, Psalm 19 and verse number 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Listen to this. "More to be desired are they," that is the Word of God, "than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb." If you were living in ancient days, one of your favorite foods might be honey, especially for those who have a little sweet tooth. Some of you, when you say my favorite food, you think of something sweet. In ancient times, the sweetest thing that you might have might be honey. And we find here that the psalmist said there's something that is sweeter than honey. You say, what would it be? What would be better than honey? I'll tell you what's better than honey according to the psalmist, and that is the commandments of the Lord. That is, God's word is sweeter than honey, straight out of the honeycomb. Trying to describe to you what is characteristic of the family of God. They love the Word of God. It is their favorite food. In Psalm 119 and verse 103, listen to what the psalmist writes. It says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Love the Word of God more than I love my favorite food. Remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16? In Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts." I'm one of God's people, loving God's family. And Jeremiah said, "I found the word of God, and I ate it like food, and it caused me on the inside to be full of joy in my heart." That is, he valued the word of God like food. You see it in the book of Ezekiel, that is, the prophets, ladies and gentlemen, are treating the Word of God like their favorite food. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter number 2 and verse number 8, it says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." God is saying to Ezekiel, "Open up your mouth and I'm going to feed you." What is he going to feed him? It must be a chocolate pie, you think? Hey, maybe it's going to be some white cake. Or maybe it's going to be some fried chicken. Here's what Ezekiel wrote. "When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll." And listen, it wasn't a dinner roll. A roll of a book, a scroll, was in that hand. "And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe." That is, a scroll, a book was laid out before him. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll," not the dinner roll, but the scroll, "and go speak unto the house of Israel." So open my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. "And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." He is eating a scroll. You say, "Pastor, you can't eat a scroll." God enabled him to eat a scroll, and he said it tasted like honey in his mouth. It's a beautiful illustration of what I'm trying to teach you, and that is that the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, is like food to the family of God. It sure is. In Hebrews chapter number 5, we find this taught in the New Testament, don't we? In Hebrews 5 and verse number 12, listen to what the Bible says. It says, "When the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need the one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." He's comparing the Word of God to milk and meat. He's saying that those who are immature believers who are still having to be taught the basics of the Bible are like those who are still on the milk. But listen, those of you that have been saved for a while, he said, you ought to be not just being taught the Bible, but teaching the Bible what you've already been taught. And he said to them, the Word of God got to be on the meat by now. The Word of God is like milk. The Word of God is like meat. It is our food, ladies and gentlemen. It's our food. Now, I know what you do when you get together as a family. You eat. I don't hardly know a family that doesn't eat when they get together. Even around here at Eastern Gate, even if it's not time to eat, I'll guarantee you, if you go to the other building, there's going to be some folks over there sitting around eating. When we get together, we just like to eat something. And even so, as you're seeing with me, one of the things that characterizes the family of God is our appetite. But it's not an appetite for food, but it is an appetite for the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have examples of that in the New Testament. For example, the family of God, the newest family of God, that is when the church, ladies and gentlemen, was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they began to preach the Word of God with boldness. The Bible tells us that Peter stood up and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and God began to move, and thousands of people turned to Christ. That is, there was a handful of individuals. That is, the family of God was small, but all of a sudden now, when the Spirit of God moved, there are 3,000 new members in the family of God. Well, you're talking about a growing family. Well, within a few hours, it went, ladies and gentlemen, from just a few to over 3,000. And one of the things that characterized that family of God, all those new believers, is their appetite and desire for the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, and they, that is those who got saved and then were baptized, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Oh, they were breaking bread, they were. But I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they were hanging around Jerusalem so they could hear the teaching of the Word of God. They were. Listen, they need to go home. That is, they came from, that is, according to Acts 2, these people came from all the areas of the world, the Roman Empire. Their name, that is, all the languages where the people came from, is named there in chapter number 2. They came from all over the world to the Feast of Pentecost, and they need to go home so that they can find something to eat, that is, to go back and continue growing their crops and growing their gardens and picking their vineyards and taking care of their homes. And no doubt they were running out of supplies, and the reason why we know that is because the early church had to take up collections to be able to help provide for and supply those who were running out of supplies. People were selling their property like Barnabas was and giving that money to the apostles to buy food, to be able to give it to those who were running out of food. You say, well, why would they stay there if they didn't have any food to eat? Well, the reason why is because they found something better than food. It's the teaching of the apostles. The Word of God, listen, if they went back home, there were no apostles there. The apostles were in Jerusalem. They wanted, listen, they had such an appetite for the Word of God that they stayed in Jerusalem to hear the Word of God instead of going back home, even though they were running out of food. I'm trying to get you to see, and I know that you're starting to, and that is one of the things that characterizes the family of God is this strong desire for our favorite food, which is the Word of God. When Paul was on his missionary journey, on his first missionary journey, he was in Antioch of Pisidia. And there he began to preach the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 13 and beginning in verse number 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, which is where he'd been preaching, the Gentiles besought that his words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They wanted to hear the Word of God again. Oh, there's a hunger stirring on the inside of the Gentiles. And so when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And I want you to imagine this for just a moment. Put yourself in their shoes, and there's a synagogue, and church is over. And the Bible says that there, that the folks who were at church at the synagogue, when church was over, they didn't rush to the restaurant. The Bible says they continue to follow Paul and Barnabas as they left the synagogue. They're following them, and they're continuing to hear the Word of God. Paul and Barnabas are teaching them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. Listen, they didn't get enough preaching during the service in the synagogue, and so they just stayed and followed them wherever they went, wanting to hear more. Can you imagine having such an appetite for the Word of God that when church is over, everywhere I went, if I was locking up the building, you're following me around, said, Pastor, would you tell me some more? When I got ready to go to the other building, you'd follow me along in the other building, said, I want to hear some more. Why don't you come on back into the sanctuary and just keep on preaching? And I say to you, but don't you need to get something to eat? And you say, sure, I'm hungry, but I would rather hear the Word of God than get something to eat. Can you imagine that? You say, Pastor, I don't know if anybody would do that or not. Well, that's what it would look like in the family of God. That is what it looks like. That we desire the Word of God more than our favorite food. Well, the Bible tells us, and when you continue reading the story in verse 44 of Acts 13, when this next Sabbath day finally came, almost the whole city came. You know what they came to? It wasn't to watch the ball game. It wasn't to gather in a coliseum and watch somebody throw a football or hit a baseball or shoot a basketball. The Bible says almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. Something's going on in Antioch, a city, ladies and gentlemen. Well, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they spoke against those things that were spoken by Paul. There's some folks got upset about it, though there always are. But Paul and Barnabas waxed bold in verse 46, and they said, it was necessary that the Word of God first had been spoken to you, But seeing you put it from you, that is the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people, that is, you don't want to hear the word of God, you've judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That is, they said, if you Jews don't want to receive the word of God, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. And listen to this now, listen to this verse. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Heard what? Did they hear the dinner bell? No, no, no. What did they hear? They heard Paul say, I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. And they were glad. Glad it was time for Paul to start preaching to the Gentiles. We're ready for the word of God. You know what I mean? And that is when your family is gathering together and everybody is, that knows how to do it is in the kitchen getting everything together. And I mean, the pots are rattling and the table's being set and everything's being laid out. And you hear the oven door open and shut and you know something just came out. And you're sitting there thinking, boy, I sure am going to be glad when that food is finally ready. And finally the cry goes out, all right, we're ready to eat. And boy, you're up in there, right up there at the front of the line. I've seen that here at Eastern Gate, haven't you? I'm not going to mention any names because there may be somebody in here whose name I'd have to mention. But I've seen that a lot of times, haven't you? And that is when it's time to eat. First one in line, but ready to get in there and get something to eat. Absolutely. Oh, listen to me now. This is where these Gentiles are in Antioch of Pisidia. That is, they are so glad that Paul's going to preach. They were worried about it for a minute. He's going to preach the word of God to them. The Bible says they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. They're glorying in the word of God, the Bible says. The Bible says as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed and the word of God was published throughout all the region. I mean to tell you, they're spreading the word. They not only received the word, but they're spreading it around. They got a good taste of the good word of God. And now they want everybody else to know how good the word of God is, just like you do. That is, when you eat something good, you tell somebody else about it. When you go to a good restaurant, you can't wait to tell somebody else about it. Oh, listen to me now. There's something better than your favorite food. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God. One of the things that characterizes the family of God is that the Word of God is what we have an appetite for. It is our favorite food. Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy 3, and you can turn over there and we'll spend the rest of the few moments we have there. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we read about it. And that is it. The Apostle Paul's been writing to Timothy, been writing to them about the last days. Timothy, you need to get ready. The last days are coming. And in these last days, there's going to be perilous times. And things are going to get worse and worse. And deceivers and people being deceived. But you, Timothy, have everything you need to live for God in the last days. You know what you have? Well, you've got the Word of God. Look at verse number 14. But continue thou, Timothy, you continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That is, stick with the Word of God. That is what it is that you've learned. Verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's what he had learned. He had learned the Bible from a child, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Continue in the things that you've learned. What has Timothy been learning? The Word of God. That is, he's been learning from the time he was a young child. He had been taught the Scriptures, been learning the Bible. He had probably been taught by his mother and his grandmother, according to chapter 1 and verse number 5 of this same book. He had also been taught by the Apostle Paul. Paul had been teaching him, according to chapter 2 and verse number 2 of this book. Timothy had learned the Word of God by his mother and his grandmother and by the Apostle Paul. But while they did the teaching, Timothy had been doing the learning. He had learned the Scriptures. The fact that he had learned what was being taught to him means that he heard what was being said. He'd been hearing the Word of God. A learner is somebody who is a hearer. That is somebody who listens for the purpose of understanding what it is that is being taught. You see, if all that you hear when you come to church or come to Bible study, if all you hear is just a mumbled voice in the background and you're not hearing what it is that God is saying, then you are not a learner. That is, I'm talking about those, ladies and gentlemen, who don't just hear the Word of God out of habit or out of obligation. That is, there all over this country, people to go to church because it's expected of them. And when they get there, they simply couldn't tell you about anything that was said. That is, they heard the noise, but they didn't hear the truth. They didn't learn. But I'm talking about those who have a hunger on the inside of them. And that is that they remember what was said. You know what I'm talking about. And that is, you remember that food that you like. That is, you got a taste of it and you say, I want some more of this. And ladies and gentlemen, there are those who have a hunger for the Word of God. That is, the family of God is characterized by this hunger for the Word of God. And that is, I not only want to hear the Word of God, but I want to learn the Word of God. That is, I want to get it on the inside of me so that I understand it in my life. I hear it. I want to know what it means. I want to apply it to my life. I want to be able to meditate on it and study it. I want to apply it to my life. I want to learn the Word of God. It's kind of like your favorite food, and that is, you put it in your mouth and you just kind of roll it around a couple of times and spit it out. You say, Pastor, I don't think so. That's not what you do. And that is with your favorite food, and that is, you put it in your mouth and you chew it around a little bit, and then you swallow it and get you another big bite. Well, even so, that's what Timothy been doing with the Word of God. Listen, he didn't just hear it. He didn't just roll it around and then spit it out. But instead, he internalized it. That's what it means to learn something. When you're learning something, it means you're internalizing what it is that's being said. You're hearing it. You're striving to understand it. You're doing everything you can to remember it and apply it to your life. And here's what Paul is saying to Timothy. You need to continue in that. Continuing in the Word of God means keep on hearing it. It means keep on reading it. It means keep on studying it. It means to keep on meditating on it. It means to keep on applying it. It means, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what my circumstances in life are, this is something I'm going to keep on doing. You know, I've discovered that about us as human beings, and that is, no matter what our circumstances are, apart from a few certain things, no matter what it is, we all keep eating. We don't stop. Listen, I was at the hospital visiting recently at the hospital, and what I notice about people at the hospital who are sick is that they keep getting these food trays. They bring them into their room, and they eat. Most of them, not all of them, depending on their sickness, but they eat. And those who can't eat for a while, when they finally get to eat, those who aren't able to eat because of a procedure, when they finally get to eat, they are ready. More than ready. Wherever we go, we like to eat. No matter what our circumstances are. And listen to me now. Even so, in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that God's people are characterized by is a desire to consume, to receive, to feed on the Word of God, no matter what our circumstances are. Hey, when I'm sick, you know what I want? I want the Word of God. When things are going well in my life, I want the Word. When they're going bad in my life, I want the Word. It doesn't make a difference what my circumstances are. If everybody likes me, if everybody doesn't, it doesn't make any difference whether things are going good or things are going bad. Listen, one of the things that does not characterize the family of God is that when things start going back, things start going backwards in your life, or start going bad in your life, when things aren't going like you want to in your life, it is not characteristic of the family of God to run away from the Word, but to run to the Word. There's something about trials. There's something about struggles on the inside in our lives that creates in us a real need and appetite to hear from our God. An appetite for the Word of God. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, keep on feeding on the Word of God. And listen, that's what God is saying to us as well. He's saying, if you got away from the Scriptures, it's time to get back to the Bible. It's time to get back to reading and studying the Bible privately. It's time to get back to reading and studying the Bible publicly, whether it be in Sunday school or church services. It's time to get serious about hearing and learning the Word of God, consuming this book like our favorite food. Because it is. It is our favorite food. Let me share with you one reason why this book is so important to us. I've got a lot of them, but let me share one of them with you. One of the reasons why the Word of God is so important to us, it's our favorite food, is because of the origin of the family. The reason why the Word of God is so important to the family of God, it's our favorite food, is because of the origin of the family. Do you know where this family began? I'm talking about the family of God. It began with the Bible. It began with the Word of God. Did you notice what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15? He said about the Scriptures that they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That is, the Word of God that you've been learning, Timothy, that you've been hearing and digesting and internalizing from the time that you were a little child, is the Word of God. The Word of God that made you wise, that is, that gave you insight, that brought you to the point of salvation. With regard to salvation, the salvation that comes through faith in Christ, the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, makes you wise to it. And that is, it's through the hearing of the Word of God, the Bible, that the Holy Spirit works in our life and brings us to the point of conversion. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, the spoken Word of God, the revealed Word of God, the good news that is preached is what God uses powerfully in our life to bring us to the point of conversion. You remember Romans chapter 10, when the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, and that is the Apostle Paul's just been speaking to the Romans, and he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they going to call on him whom they've not believed? And listen, how are they going to believe unless they hear the Word of God? How are they going to hear the Word of God unless somebody be sent to them? And he says, here's how it is, and that is, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you're not going to call on Him with saving faith until the Word of God has been planted in your heart. The Word of God is the basis for saving faith. You can't believe unless you believe based on the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God is the sword that cuts on the inside of our hearts? Well, that's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing or cutting. Ladies and gentlemen, cutting all the way to the cutting asunder, the dividing of the joints and marrow, and the soul and spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is the Word of God that penetrates deep into our heart to bring us to the point of realizing our sinfulness, bringing us to the point of repentance, and bringing us to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that can do that. Listen, you can drop a bomb that can penetrate the earth hundreds of feet, but listen to me now, it cannot change a man's heart. Only the Word of God can penetrate like a sword, like it did on the day of Pentecost, when the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number 37, when they heard this, the Word of God, they were pricked, cut in their hearts and cried out, what do we need to do? And Peter said, you got to repent. And they did 3,000 that day. It is this book that originated the family. You wouldn't be saved today. You wouldn't be a part of the family of God if the Word of God hadn't cut you on the inside like a sword. The Word of God did that. It's not only, the Word of God is not only like a sword that cuts, but it's like a seed that creates. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 23. Listen to what he said and I'll be done. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 23, Peter wrote, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you read that? The Bible says the Word of God is what brought us to the point of the new birth. It's like the seed that's implanted in the womb of a woman that creates life. The Word of God was planted on the inside of you. As the Word of God that you heard, the Word of God that just was planted on the inside of you, that kept rising up and rising up and rising up and developing on the inside of you, working on the inside of you, until finally God brought you to the point, as a sinner broken over your lost sinful condition, you turned to Christ and you rested your faith in what it is that Jesus did for you on the cross, and God saved you, and now you're part of the family of God. Listen to me now. Our favorite food is the Bible, is the Word of God. And the reason why is because of the origin of the family. That's how the family began. Now listen to me, I'll make a few comments, I'll be done. There's not anything that you have in your life that's more important than your salvation. Listen, it's more important than your spouse. You say, Pastor, I love my spouse. Listen to me, your spouse can't get you to heaven. It's more important than your kids and your grandkids and your job and your hobby and all the possessions that you have. That which is most important to you, your salvation. Listen to this. I'll make a few comments. That which is most important to you, your salvation, didn't come to you by watching a ball game. It didn't come to you by some club you joined. It didn't come to you out on the golf course or out in shopping at Walmart. No, listen, it came to you because the Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God, brought you to the point of repentance, brokenness over your sin, and to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. God saved you. You became a part of the family of God because of this book, the Word of God. And that's why we love it so much. That's why we love it like our favorite food. So, Pastor, you ever get tired of the Bible? Oh, no. Everything that I am and everything I have as a child of God originated in this book. It is, in the family of God, our favorite food. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. And God, how you're working your work on the inside of us. God, I pray for those who are here that are lost. I pray, God, that they would hear what you're saying. God, I pray, Father, that the Word of God would take root on the inside of them, that you'll draw those persons to yourself and bring them to the point, Father, where they'll rest their faith and what the Scriptures reveal about who they are as a lost sinner and who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross. God, I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll move upon the hearts of your people, Father, that have allowed the world to spoil their appetite, that they'd get back to the table, get back to the Word, get back to feasting, God, on this wonderful food you've given us. And we're going to give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's all stand together.